You need no introduction.
No introduction.
Thank you.
Wolf Ballard.
Hello. We just had our photograph taken together.
Thank you so much for that show. That was absolutely exquisite. You wrote it. You performed it. Did you have any kind of outside arm to help you with it?
I developed it in a, well, thank you. I developed it in a workshop. Production.
It's in my hand.
Good. Oh, there it is. I developed it in a series of workshop productions and brought in small audiences. And originally, the piece was about memory, many different memories, many different people and their memories, and how objects contain memories, like that junk drawer that we all have full of broken, chewed up pencils and broken glasses and things, and how those memories continue on. And I really wanted to speak about the generations that are in my life that are passing away and their memories and their legacies, and how do we pass those on to our kids of the next generation, and the story, history. And it started out with many different stories, and a woman in her, probably in her 80s, was in this, I worked in a bakery in the winter. I had this lovely rehearsal space in the bakery, so it was always warm and snowed like bread, and freezing outside. They came and sat, this was one of the workshops, just maybe 20 minutes of the show, and she said, oh, I thought they were all his memories. And I said, I don't know, there are many memories, I'm so sure of it, you know, so sex, that's the way it is. And then a couple days later, something, and then all of a sudden, aha. And so feedback came in strength, and so then I made it about one man's memories, and the feedback came that way. But no director, as the writer, director, cinematographer, editor, video, all the prop builder, I can change things when I perform on a tour show. So the first 20 shows, I'm changing, cutting.
And Adi's your director, in a sense.
Yeah, the feedback that I get. This is one of the only shows, these three shows, usually we have at least, at least a third are children of you. In this venue, we've had a lot of adults. So there are a lot of poop jokes, some more humor in it, that really the kids will bring you along. And to perform these, you know, nappy jokes and things, when I look out, I'm like, it's the third straggler. So that's interesting to me, you know, how I would change it if I was going to perform it for adults only. But it's lovely to perform it. We toured all over the world, and Brazil and Hong Kong, and there's a bit of language, and that was my challenge. How do I tell a story about letters, about texts, without using a lot and making it secondary, so you don't have to understand the language to get it.
That's a wonderful introduction. I might as well introduce myself now. I'm Dick McCaw, one of the talks facilitators for the Mime Festival. You can see this instrument here. It is recording this for posterity for exeuntmagazine.com, an online magazine for theatre.
So, exeuntmagazine.com.
Exeuntmagazine.com. That's okay. So this little fella, if it does its work, is going to record you all. If you want to ask a question, as I'm sure you do, I shall point at you, you will say your question, and I will repeat it so that the little fella here can hear it, so that you are recorded for posterity. All understood? There's a light just there that means I can't see anything. It's kind of in my eyes.
Chris, if any chance?
Instead of if that one there... When just that one. But meantime, I'm going to do this. So if you have a question, first one up, I might keep you till last, because you're a member of the cast. I'm not sure you can answer questions. Go ahead with your question.
How much of it is kind of autobiographical and stories from your own life, or how much is it that you've just worked with kind of archetypes and working with romance and playing out of that? How much of yourself do you bring to it?
How much of your material is autobiographical and how much comes from other sources?
It's interesting because the woman, the young woman, is my sister-in-law, and the little boy is my nephew and my brother's son. And when you, if you pause the morph between when he's a boy to when he becomes me, right in the middle of it, it's my brother when he's 10 years old. It's incredible. It's uncanny. And then the older woman is my mom playing the older woman. She'd like me probably to add that she's wearing old age makeup. but beyond the name, and a lot of these letters, some of the letters are real from my family. But as far as the stories, you know, a boat ride, a first date, having a bird, having a dog, these are all things that were in my life. But they're also, like you said, they're archetypes and universal universal images. So yeah, a bit of both, I guess.
Right.
You know that tree? Well, how did it grow? And then when you sat on it, how could it keep its strength?
Can I ask you what you think? Can I ask you what you think? What do you think? Yes, very good. We're on to it. I'm going to share the secrets because the doors are locked and we're here. The tree, the rubber tree, as we call it. So, a little misdirection is what we say. One tree, a shoe, not the shoe from the audience, a shoe that I had secreted away. Put it here, there's a hole. Up it goes. I stagger off. I switch it for this tree that is welded out of steel. And a bit of wobbling, so it's fairly safe. Don't try this at home. And so, yes, that's how we did it, a little magic. That's all I can tell you, but that's probably too much. You were great. Thank you, by the way. And, very fun partner.
You want a question? You just want to see me run around the room, don't you?
How did you fly up in the end?
Next question. I can't show you all the magic tricks. I did not invent that one. I invented some of these tricks and I made them up. And that's an old trick. It's probably from Commedia. It's quite an old form of levitation, one of the simplest forms. But there are some tricks I can show you. This is a sticky sort of object that you can. So there's a lot of tricks that you don't really need a lot of props for. you can do without props. There's a lot of magic that you can, you know, use your hands. This is a classic. Grandpas and dads know this one. This one I made up. A 10-year-old girl showed me that once. So there's a lot of tricks, magic tricks that you can learn. Library, there's a lot of maths magic, a lot of numbers, a lot of word magic, a lot of prestidigitation, finger magic. And then there's a lot of stage illusion. The whole theater itself is full of magic. Just the fact that there are lights and there's people back there running around in the dark and things are happening is quite magical.
That's going to be fantastic for radio, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
That's just going to work in dream.
Magic on the radio. Mime on the radio.
The pictures are always better on the radio.
Yeah.
There was a hand over here. You just say it out because you're too old for me to run around.
What is the clown for you? What's the art of the clown for you?
What is the art of the clown for you?
Yeah, I studied with many different people, and that's a lot of people have different opinions of what the word clown is. But I subscribe to the red clown and the white clown. The red clown being the buffoon, the lower status, the country bumpkin, the one in trouble, the man in trouble, the Chaplin, Keaton, and Stan Laurel of Laurel and Hardy. And then the white clown is the one who's in charge. And a friend of mine, Nathalie Tarlet, who's a French comedian, she said that she was trying to explain it once to her class, and she was very intellectual. And she was like, "Now the red clown is this, and the white clown is that." And they're thinking, "What is that?" Are they trying to get it. And her little son, she's walking around talking about it in her class. And her little son comes in the door and says, "Mom." She's like, "Not now." And he just stands and sort of watches her and looks around and spaces out, and then walks off again. And she's talking about the white clown and the red clown. And he comes in again, totally upstaging her, taking all the focus. This innocent, mama. And then looking around, everyone's just taking all. And she, finally she goes, that's what I'm talking about. That was a perfect example of the red clown, the lower status, but also the higher, truly higher status. This character... These shows always have a lot of kids. They have to play multicultural all around the world. They have to play multi-generational. And this character is a peer to the younger folks in the audience. And he doesn't really, you know, hold them. They're not, children aren't precious. They're equals. So there's a sort of a competition or a camaraderie and a mutual respect for each other. And I think the kids really get that and respect an actor when they're not, because often children's theater is doing this, that's for radio, doing this, patting on the head. It's a long, but I'd love to chat about it because I don't know, that's the answer, I don't know.
We've got 5 more minutes. Okay.
Where'd you get your shoes made?
Where do you get your shoes made? For the radio, they're brown.
Yes. These are actually, I didn't have these made. I had them restyled, but I forget the name of them. If you want to email me, I'll tell you.
They're clown shoes.
They're not. They are, they're, no. They're, my, I just have big feet. For noticing.
Yeah. Over there, I've got you and then you. You're on.
Well, you probably can hear me.
It's not me, it's a little machine.
The clown is rather, I'm speaking about the Auguste type of clown, is rather out of favour nowadays and has been severely trounced, the type of clown in the Cirque du Soleil. Would you not think, and in fact, I remember there's a clown, actually, you would know of him. He wrote The Circus in the Suitcase.
Oh, he's Reg Bolton.
Less the makeup, more the clown. You know, some clowns overdo it with all the makeup. And I'm thinking of the individual clowns of the past, the circus and so on. They seem to be rather out of favour. Would you not think that the way forward, the clown, is in the type of show that you're doing, where there's less the makeup, more the situation, and I'm thinking, you know, in the field of the Stan Laurels and the Keatons and so on, and this is the way forward, rather than putting on big shoes and, you know, the lot, and there's some...
That's quite, it's a 3-minute question.
No, that's, that's lovely, David. Thank you. It's a lovely, lovely sentiment. But I still love, I love seeing the Fratellini brothers with the huge, you know, it's grotesque and ridiculous, and it's beautiful to look at. There's a coulrophobia, is the fear of clowns, they call it coulrophobia, and there's a lot of clown horror things that are coming out, which works against, but yeah, you see Bill Irwin and David Shiner, you see Jeff Hoyle, who's from here originally, I think, who wear very little or no makeup, and I think, yeah, the style is going towards that. And then, what do we call it? You know, is it physical comedy, visual comedy, a visual theater? Is it? What are the languages constantly changing too? How do we, now we're it's a mime festival, and then there's puppets at the mime festival, and you know what? So it's visual theater. There's a lot of different. And I don't know. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
I've seen better clowning at the mime festivals than elsewhere.
Well, good. Yeah, you heard. Did you hear that?
Okay, I've got a last question here.
I was just, enjoyed the multimedia aspect of the show, and I was just curious because a friend of mine in the audience is deaf, and I wondered whether you consider your deaf audience when you're creating shows with audio, because I guess they get slightly different.
No more than I consider. Sorry, you want to repeat that?
It's a question about you do multimedia shows, but for a deaf audience, do you think about them when you're putting it together?
Yeah, I do, and only in that I try to include everyone. But no, I don't specifically cater to anyone in the audience. As I said, I try to include. I don't try to please everyone, but I try to include everyone. I want my granny to come, you know, and not be offended. And I want kids to have. We say 6 to 96. Actually, my wife's grandmother is turning 100 this year, and in Australia, she's getting a letter from the Queen. And she did you hear that?
Did you hear that, Gran?
So I try to, you know, include everyone. But yeah, there's been quite a deaf community have really turned out to different shows. I have 3 shows: La La Luna, this is Letters End, and there's The Man That He Saw, and they all have very little language. In fact, this is the one that has the most language. Yeah, there's a question.
Are you happy with more?
Yes,
more time?
Yes, please. I'd love to talk about myself.
There's a lot of material within the piece, and I was just curious about what your process is like with the ideas that came out. How would you get them on their feet, and how would you develop them?
There's a lot of ideas in the show. How do you develop the shows? Can I say? And how did you decide which ones don't get in?
Yeah, well, that's a good point. You know, it's the editing process. There might be a strange image that I want to include, so the story might come around that. For example, the fly routine is probably from Commedia. In fact, I'm sure it is. So the fly routine is an original. I mean, what is original? But I have never seen a child killing a fly with a rock yet. Yes. So I thought, okay, that's fresh. That's my thing. Maybe it's been done 100 times, but I haven't seen it. In La La Luna, which is a play about the light in the moon burning out, the light bulb burns out in the moon, and the man's in charge of it. I wanted to take off my shoe and pour sand out for a long, long, long time. It keeps pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring. I just wanted to do that. So I took the story that, you know, it's a surreal moment. I wanted to include it. It's fun. It makes you go, magic makes you go, wow, it makes you feel different. The levitation, you know, how do you do that? And if you don't necessarily say, how do you do that, but you say, oh, it makes you, so I often will write from that point. That's point. And so I might write from that, or I might write from story, and I combine and cut and trial and error, and cut. Because there's billions of ideas and billions of things. And this is very crammed full of things. Hopefully not too much. But it's fun for me. I like tricks. And I was a little magic nerd and a little mime nerd and a juggling nerd as a kid. And I love tricks. And I had to, each show I do, I go, oh, well, I've already juggled and I've already spun my hat. So I have to learn new skills. And as now I'm 50... learning new skills, you know, they become harder and harder. Juggling, for example, and magic and things, it takes a bit longer than when you're your age, or when you're 12 or 10 when I started. So, I don't know, I didn't answer your question, but there's something.
I have one last question. Have you still got the spit?
Yes. Email me, Alf.
First, congratulations.
Thank you.
And second, you have to come to Greece and present your show.
The question is, will you go to Greece?
Yes.
Okay.
See you there.
Question answered. Thank you so much, Wolf, for staying back.
Thanks,
you all for staying back. And good afternoon.
Thank you.